Imagine your life as a string of lights, each bulb marking a moment that changed you. Now imagine adding a vibrant new bulb to that string, a brand experience so powerful it becomes an unforgettable part of who you are. That's the magic we chase at The Voice of Experience, your go-to podcast for the art, science, and secrets of making brands unforgettable. We'll crack open the craft of memory making to prove how experiences leave their mark and connect us to brands and products forever. This is your bite-sized masterclass of the mind-blowing science behind memories, real-world case studies of unforgettable experiences, and actionable takeaways that will have you seeing marketing and your brand differently. Welcome to The Voice of Experience. Let's make your brand shine brighter than ever before. Here are your hosts, Elke Jones and Max Linderman.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to The Voice of Experience. Hey there, Max.
Hi, Elke.
How's it going?
It's going. Today's a great day. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. And how was your Thanksgiving?
Amazingly stress-free and and relaxing, quite frankly, which is something that I probably would not say for previous Thanksgivings. But so
okay.
this was a good one. We ran contrary to popular opinion that bringing family together was going to be a contentious thing in the United States, but it was awesome. it was really, really good. How was yours?
First of all, glad to hear that, you know, everyone survived. And mine was great as well. I was celebrating in Puerto Viejo, Costa Rica with some friends, so mine did not suck either.
Oh, my God, no.
I know.
Yeah, that's a good Thanksgiving.
It was
a warm Thanksgiving.
And for that, I am grateful. Yes. So, Max, can you believe the year is almost over?
Yes and no. At first, it seems like a blink of an eye, but then it's been a long year. There's been a lot that happened this year.
You know, you're right. If I sit and think about it for a minute, there's been a lot of stuff going on. But it also, like, I feel as if, I don't know if it's an aging thing, but time seems to just progressively go by faster for some reason.
Yeah.
And also, I'm like, oh my God, it's the end of the year. But in the spirit of it being close to the end of 2024, I thought this would be the perfect episode for us to discuss our recently published 2024 GMR Brand Experience Index.
That's awesome. And the year index, I like it.
Let's do it. And so for those of you who don't know, the GMR Brand Experience Index is an annual report where we rank memorable brands in the experience space. And there is a very robust and very scientific methodology that allows us to produce these rankings that's built upon a model that includes the distinct factors that make up a brand experience in the context of a live event. So to learn more and to read the report, or if you just want to understand the methodology, you can find it on gmrmarketing.com. So get in there. Right,
get in there.
Get in there. Read the report. It's good stuff.
We should put the links into the in the recap as well.
There you go. Our producer, Chris, I'm sure will figure out how to do that. So once again, gmrmarketing.com. And this year, we added a unique element to the report, which features some of our most distinct voices across the agency who are asked to weigh in on the rankings of memorable brands. And surprise, surprise, Max, you were one of those people.
It was an honor and a pleasure to look at all the work. It was really awesome.
It probably is sort of like being a judge on like the most esteemed panel of like being a Cannes Lions judge, right?
Yeah, but both like a judge and like an envier.
Oh.
You know, like someone who was just like, oh, these are good. These are so good, right? So there's a dispassionate element to judging, but for me, it was like there was a lot of passion in looking at the work.
Well, that was very evident by all the great comments and perspectives that we were able to generate from all of you. So thank you so much. But I do want to ask you, because we're going to talk about some of the brands that made the top of our list. One of the brands that stood out to you this year was Jersey Mike's. Do you mind telling me a little bit why you picked Jersey Mike's as one of your top brands?
Yeah, I think it starts with my natural inclination to look at things that are cognitively dissonant. And so it like, oh, wow, that's interesting. That sort of doesn't belong here, right? And the work that I saw from Jersey Mike's, and of course it was a multi kind of venue tour, but the work for Jersey Mike's was at a country music festival, right? And it went to multiple country music festivals. Now, the tour for Jersey Mike is called Tour from the Shore, right? It's unabashedly Jersey, right? I mean, mm-hmm. the Jersey is in the name, right? Like, and the marketing around it is actually quite brilliant, right? It's authentic, it's kind of down to earth, but also kind of like avatarish. Like everyone has a notion of Jersey, right?
Sure.
And it's kind of fun and it's kind of interesting and could be made funny. And so to see them kind of embrace the country music scene and that audience and bring a little bit of Jersey to a little bit of country, like was exactly that kind of cognitive dissonance that I really like love seeing. It's like unexpected and kind of brilliant. And now look, it's also like free food and free entertainment and like a lot of like freebies and cool things. Like it was an additive element to the experience. It didn't feel like it was, you know, just there because it felt
sure.
very much like, hey, we want to feed you. We want to feed you with some Jersey, you know, with a little bit of Jersey. And pardon the pun, like the audience ate it up. Like it was really, really good, you know?
Yeah.
And so like it just kind of that insight of like, let's bring a little Jersey to country just made it that much more fun and that much more engaging. And I think it was new for people to kind of, you know, taste a Jersey sub like in Arizona or something like that. So I think it opened up a lot of markets for them in a conversation point that I thought was just kind of brilliant.
That's very cool. Are we supposed to say Joyzy or is that faux pas?
Jersey. Yeah, Joyzy. It's kind of like
Joyzy.
I can't. We can't do it.
No.
There's people listening from Jersey, like screaming.
Yeah. All right. We best move on. So thank you for that. The top five brands overall, according to these GMR experts, were Jersey Mike's and then Lego, Frito-Lay, Fujifilm, and Humana. Any surprises there when I say those brands?
I mean, Humana?
Yeah.
Like that's an insurance company, you know, and like, I mean, I totally get Liquid Death, duh, right? I understand Jersey Mike's, we just talked about it. I think Frito-Lay, I understand this large CPG company that needs to be current and youthful and et cetera. Lego, of course, got it. Humana is an interesting one. And I think that deserves a little bit of conversation.
Yeah, so let's talk about it. I had the same reaction. It's like insurance in the top five, not what I was expecting. But I think what's interesting about Humana is that they have found a very common language to connect to their target audience of silvers. By the way, did you know, Max, that's now the new name for that cohort? It's not seniors, silvers.
Silvers?
Silvers, yes.
It's like a family of East Coast Jews.
I thought it was maybe a kinder, gentler way of saying seniors, but
I don't
anyway.
Know. Seniors, seniors rule the high school. Like, I like seniors better.
Oh, now that you put it that way, fair enough. Okay. But seniors, silvers, whatever you want to call them,
okay.
They use the common language of pickleball and the National Senior Games.
Ah.
Yes. So what I love about that is Humana has leaned into sort of the positive aspects of aging, sport, athleticism, your entering into the best years of your life versus focusing on aging and health issues and disease. So it's about wellness and like empowerment versus illness. So that's, I think, why Humana has really stood out. And then to use pickleball and the senior games as a way to sort of express that idea of like wellness was pretty cool.
I actually think in kind of getting ahead of the trend. And I know like pickleball has been around for, you know, as a trend for 3-4 years. But the room for it to grow is pretty impressive. Like, so, you know, like, so to become
point.
Associated with it and to, you know, support it, because quite frankly, like, oh my God, I'm going to admit it, but yeah, I play pickleball and
Dude, so do I, and
it's kind of culty in a weird way. And I want to see like more pro-ams. I want to see more kind of like superstars, because I'm now in this group, right, of silvers, apparently. and so I actually think that, like, getting in front of a, you know, making a bet that, hey, this sport is not a flash in the pan. It has plenty of room to grow. There's influencers and brands within that ecosystem that are interesting enough for us to collab with, or, you know, leverage, if you want to make it more cold-hearted. Like, I think it's a really smart move to be one of the originators of this trend and continue on. I think it's really smart. Yeah.
Yeah. Well done, Humana. Love everything about that. The other one I wanted to mention, just because it's campy and fun, is Frito-Lay, and specifically Frito-Lay at the Super Bowl this year, where fans enjoyed a very immersive experience at the Frito-Lay Chip Strip. So it was located, I think, within like the New York hotel kind of property. But their whole experience included the Frito-Lay snack pot, and wait for it, the Cheetos Chapel, where Chester Cheetah could actually officiate your wedding.
That's an unhinged moment, but I love it.
Isn't that awesome? I would have been so down for that. I mean, I had to find somebody who was stupid enough to marry me by, you know, within the chapel, but, you know, that's beside the point. But how fun and buzzy and weird.
It's perfect. It's the context is perfect. The audience mindset, you know, is perfect. The need state is perfect, you know, because it's not just being married by Chester Cheetah, it's being married at the Super Bowl. It's being kind of like officiated by all the hoopla that a big brand like, you know, the Cheetos or Frito-Lay can do, all the social media that comes with it. It really becomes, I don't know, like a once in a lifetime moment, hopefully. But that's awesome. That's really good.
So and memorable.
Love the alliteration of the Chester Cheetah Chapel. It just rolls off
good.
The tongue.
I know. Yeah. I know. Yeah. So I thought that one was really cool as well. So let's switch gears. Let's start talking about some of the more interesting insights from 2024. And, you know, you and I have discussed some of these things in previous episodes, but I do think they are worth revisiting. And the first one, which we've already sort of touched on, is how important it is for brands to understand the value of knowing what a consumer needs from them within the context of a live moment or a live experience.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that a little bit. Like, what are your thoughts or opinions as to why this is so important for brands?
I mean, in a nutshell, you have to understand need states as a marketer, especially as an experience marketer, in the same way that like a media planner needs to understand media channels for desired effect, right? Like, so like if you think about emotion, or let's call it, you know, emotional states or need states as conduits of best messaging. I know this sounds kind of a little bit of convoluted, but like you want to know the need state and you want to engender the need state in order for a particular message or a particular memorable bulb, you know, as we talk about, to stay that's attributable to that brand.
Yep.
It's kind of like saying, hey, we want to do an awareness campaign, but we're only going to do it, you know, through a limited email distribution campaign, like email blast, right? And that email blast is 50,000. Well, you're not going to use that medium to create awareness. You're going to use television, right? Or you're going to use social media or some sort of viral moment for that awareness piece. So the way that media gets planned for desired effect, desired memorability, desired communication and strategy goals, marketers in the experience space need to understand need states in the same way they would media channels.
Yeah, completely. And, you know, we've studied need states and the importance of being able to meet or exceed those needs for many years. And there's kind of four primary needs. I mean, all event experiences can map to one of these. And then there's territories and dimensions within,
right.
But it's this sense of belonging, you know, communal community. We're all in this together, offering a moment of release, like shed the day, get rid of stress, just have some fun, feel some joy, right? Contributing to one's identity. So how I want the world to perceive me and what I connect with. And then finally, a sense of enrichment, which is where like discovery lives, people that are open to sort of like the Vegas thing, right? Like what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, where people are very open to different types of experiences or enrichment. So those are the needs that brands should be thinking about when it comes to crafting their experiences. Something that we spend a lot of time making sure that we help our clients understand.
Well, I think that's the four fundamental need states are, again, like I'm gonna beat this metaphor to death, Elke. I'm sorry,
but
it's like, it's like if you can get all four in an experience, right? Like that's an omni-channel campaign, right?
Yes.
Like that's what a, you know, like a Super Bowl spot and a social media and an influencer campaign and a digital, like all comes together into like con-winning titanium award. Like, holy cow, look what this brand, look what this brand did, right?
Yeah.
And so that's the gold standard, right? Is to account for these need states, to meet them, right? To elevate them, to understand them and to like jiu-jitsu them into this omni-channel approach to the brightest, best memory that you could possibly give to someone. And it's like, you do that really well at scale, right? Or at the personal level, it's really the most communicative or the most effective communicative way of delivering memory making, right?
Yeah,
of delivering relevancy.
It's a secret weapon. It really is a secret weapon. I feel like if you can understand that and how to make that work for you, it really does deliver and over deliver against many marketing objectives, to your point about being omni-channel. So yeah, I look at it as sort of like our secret weapon.
Yeah.
All right. We talked about two big global superstars, Lionel Messi and Taylor Swift, and their influence on culture, fashion, the economy, and brands. And I think some of the highlights from that conversation were around the idea of anticipation and rituals. Right? Do you remember that conversation that we had about how a lot of brands focus on the experience as the moment and not really thinking about what comes before and what comes after?
Right.
And so, you know, why is that important? What should brands be thinking about when it comes to pre, post rituals, anticipation? What comes to mind?
I mean, for me, it's the relevancy that's constantly ingrained, right? It's like a ritual is the mnemonic of relevancy, right? Like, and so like it's like every single time, for instance, if someone is an Inter Miami fan or a Taylor Swift fan or whatnot, like anytime there's a pull on the bracelet or a, you know, tug, like, you know, you put on the jersey when you go out and whatnot, it is a constant manifestation and a hearkening back to the things that made this person or this brand relevant to you and the connection to a memory and hopefully multiple memories that over a span of, it could be days, it could be years,
right?
These multiple memories coalesce into identity, right? Like in actual, and we always talk about like the best brands are the most authentic brands, right? And you're like, that's really interesting. But from a human perspective, the best brands are the ones that you can identify with, right? And so that's where this kind of like, if you can create ritual, if you could create, and spirits marketers always used to talk about this, right? The bar call, right? Like, can we create a ritual? Can we create a new shot or whatnot?
Oh, because, I remember. Yes.
Right? Like,
yep.
And because in the sea of sameness, right, like of just logos and labels, it's the ritual that makes everything stand out and creates that identity.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of like where the richness of authenticity for a brand really comes to play. It's not necessarily, you know, how many times you say it. It's how people appropriate that into their own rituals and into their own daily lives that becomes translatable into authenticity.
That's so interesting. Having worked on spirits also, as we both know, that was always one of the jobs to be done is like, how can we create the ritual, the Guinness toast or our version of that? And the idea of doing that in an authentic way, because there are a lot of copycat sort of best intentioned ideas. You know what I mean? Like well-intentioned mm-hmm. ideas that just never authentically create that moment. It's like, it's so rare for it to just sort of like really take hold in like in a very organic way. And when it does, man, like you own that. You own that forevermore.
Oh my God, I'm gonna so age myself. But do you remember getting iced? Like
yes!
Smirnoff Ice?
I was just thinking about this like a couple weeks ago. I want to bring that shit back.
So here's the fun part. I heard college kids talk about it. Like I overheard, you know, I was walking on CU campus and they were talking about Smirnoff and getting iced. And I'm like, holy cow, it lives. Like, you know, it's like a,
is amazing. You know,
it's like a zombie meme that's still there. But look, there's, you know, Jeep owners blink their lights at each other, right? Like there's all these like little tiny things like motorcycle riders put out the two fingers, you know, like all these little things that we do every single day or see in culture occurs every single day. And almost every single brand, if you're a CMO, you
yeah.
strive to
for that moment.
That.
Yeah.
You strive for that moment. Yep.
Yeah. Big time. So I think I'm going to wrap this up because there's so much more we could talk about, but I do want to encourage our listeners to actually read the report and, you know, engage with some of the ideas and thoughts. We'd love to hear if you have comments. Please always drop them into the reviews of, you know, this podcast. But I'm going to stop us and hopefully we get some folks to actually download the report and let us know what you think.
Download the report.
Right?
I'm trying to do some mind control.
No, it's good. It's yeah. really good. Yeah. And it was fun. Like, nice look back at the year. There's so much more we could say. But again, read the report. Let us know what you think. And hey, hit us up if anybody wants to talk about this stuff.
100. We should do it. We're going to do another episode. We're going to do another episode to keep talking because this was good. This was real good.
We always do, Max. We just can't get enough.
Can't get enough.
All right, my friend. I'll see you next time.
Bye, Elky. It was
All
awesome.
All right, take care. Bye.
Bye.
The Voice of Experience is produced by GMR Marketing, an Omnicom experiential group agency. All content is the property of GMR Marketing. Join us next time for more knowledge, data, insights, and secrets of the art and science of making brands unforgettable. For more information, contact us at gmrmarketing.com.